Greetings in Christ Jesus, and welcome once again to the Twin Steeples podcast. I'm your host, Pastor Joe Nauman, joined again today by Pastor Neil Radical. Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. The main goals of this podcast are to share God's saving word and to communicate the ongoing activity in Christ's kingdom here at Emmanuel. How are you today, Pastor?
I'm doing very well. How are you doing?
I'm doing very well. Today we want to, as we continue to ponder the themes of Lent, of course, one of the main themes is the idea of sorrow over sin and the recognizing the inherent sinfulness of our nature, how we sin against God in thought, word, and deed, and the realization that the reason why Christ needed to go to the cross and suffer and die for us is because of our sin. So today I wanted to take a look briefly at the idea of being sorry for your sin versus repentance, which has a kind of a fuller idea in scripture. And to do that, I'd like to base our devotion on Matthew 27 verses 3 through 5. We read here about the apostle Judas. It says, I guess the disciple Judas, it says, "Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that he had been condemned, was remorseful and brought back the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, 'I have sinned by betraying innocent blood.' And they said, 'What is that to us? You see to it.' Then he threw down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself." It always strikes me, you know, that we see Judas here with being remorseful, being sorry for what he has done. There's definitely contrition taking place in Judas's heart. He recognizes that what he did was wrong. He betrayed his friend, and even says there, betrayed innocent blood. So there was a understanding on Judas's part that Jesus was an innocent being, that he had no fault in this way, and likely having spent 3 years with Jesus, he probably saw that Jesus had no fault at all. And in recognizing this, he goes back, returns the 30 pieces of silver. He tries to give them back to the chief priests and elders, tries to undo the wrong that he has done. So not only do we see this sorrow in his heart, this remorsefulness in his heart, but we also see him taking action in response to that remorsefulness, to that sorrow. He tries to undo the wrong that he did. But what we see with Judas and what we so often see in our own lives is that we cannot pay for the sins that we have done. We can try to make amends. We can try to make things right and set things right, but a sin is a sin, and there's still a price that needs to be paid for it. And of course, what we see with Judas is the failure to recognize Christ as the payment for that sin. He didn't believe that Jesus could love him enough to take away the sin that he had done. And so he, in hopelessness and helplessness, goes and hangs himself. And I think this is really the key. And I think you brought this out well in your sermon 2 weeks ago, Pastor, is kind of the difference between contrition and repentance. You want to kind of highlight the difference there for us?
Yeah, I think the contrition is a good reminder that you can be sorry for sins, but it's the desire to also turn away from it, to not continue in it, and to look to Christ, look to God for mercy and strength for that forgiveness. You know, and to that point here, it seemed like Judas had that sorrow, potentially contrition, but look at what those Pharisees, the chief priests, said to him. They basically said, "Too bad for you. We don't care. Deal with it yourself." You know, so there was no evidence of their caring to forgive him as well. And I think that was probably partially part of his demise, is that they just totally said, "Yeah, you did betray him. Now move on. We're not going to deal with that." So I think that's a big reminder for each one of us. When someone is showing those signs of repentance and contrition, we need to assure them of the forgiveness that comes from Christ and not miss those opportunities that was clearly missed here. I think this led to Judas's further destructive mindset, when the ones who were supposed to take care of his spiritual soul did the exact opposite of that.
Yeah, I think it's kind of, that's a good point about the proper distinction between law and gospel, right? As we see here, Judas in desperate need of hope. You know, he had the sorrow. He was broken down. His ego had been completely destroyed. And when we're completely wrecked spiritually and emotionally, what we need is the gospel to rebuild us. Now, there are times certainly where the law is appropriate, and we need to use the law to point out people's sins. But Here in the case with Judas, he was in desperate need of the gospel, and sadly, the gospel did not move him and his heart and his life. And of course, he went and hanged himself. So the lesson for us, of course, is: yeah, should we be sorry for our sins? Yes, you know, just as Judas was, and he is an example for that in being sorrow for our sins, and we should try to make amends for when we do wrong. But of course, being simply sorry for your sins is not enough. And that's something I like to emphasize during Lent, is yet there's a lot of self-reflect and sorrow and repent and not fully repentance, but there's a lot of inward self-condemning that happens. We need to also make sure we turn to the cross as well, and that we go back to Jesus, because he did pay the price for sins. And that's something that can give us joy, and that we should make sure we emphasize both with our families and our children and our church fellow church members. We should emphasize the gospel, and you know, that's something with three little children that I always strive to do, is you know, when they do something wrong or when they get in trouble, to always remind them after it's over that, you know, Jesus, I forgive you, Jesus forgives you, and your sin is not held against you anymore. And you know, that's something that Judas would have benefited greatly from hearing as well. Let's pray. Lord Heavenly Father, we thank you for the gift of your Son, Jesus, who came and did pay the price for all of our sins. We thank you for working in our hearts the faith that trusts in the forgiveness of that sins and looks to Christ and his work and all that he has done, and knows that the price that he paid was sufficient to pay for our sins and the sins of the entire world. Oh Lord, please continue to strengthen us through this wonderful knowledge, and bless us both today and every day as we continue to ponder your passion during this Lenten season, and as we look to the glorious day of your resurrection, which assures for us eternal life. We pray these things in your name. Amen.
Amen.
All righty, a couple announcements I'd like to highlight today. Our Lent worship continues this evening. It's our third Wednesday, third midweek Lenten service today, March 3rd. Pastor Radical will be preaching, continuing our theme of walking with Peter. Pastor, you're preaching on From Complacent to Courageous. Want to give us a little sneak peek of that?
Sure. I think complacency is something that we all need to watch against, just like Jesus warned the disciples. And basically that word means distracted or lazy or whatever it might be that we think of that with our faith life. And so we're really focusing on when Jesus gives us a warning to watch and be ready, there's a reason for that. And if we become complacent with that, if we don't pay much attention to that warning, then we are really going to struggle. So how do we see the disciples go from complacent to courageous through the word of the Lord? How do they go from fear in that, not just fearful, but in the sense of this mindset of falling asleep to being more alert and ready to defend the Lord?
All right. We look forward to hearing more about that this evening, whether you join us in person or online. Coming up in a couple of weeks, we have a tour choir concert. You want to comment on that too, Pastor?
Yeah, with all the challenges of the COVID problems that we still have, we are glad that the Emmanuel Tour Choir from Eau Claire is hoping to present the gospel and song here for a special concert. That is pretty well set in stone. The deacons have decided to do an online sign up just to make sure that we are having the right amount of people in the sanctuary. So basically it's a first come, first serve sign up to 200 people. And due to copyright issues, we cannot live stream this event because of the songs that they're singing. So the only way you'll be able to see this is if you are in person. The choir themselves will be masked and social distance up front in the sanctuary. We'll keep the front three pews empty and continue to plan for our own social distancing and wearing masks as well. So we really hope you can join us for this event. You should see a sign-up link for that in the Wednesday memo and in the weekend bulletin as well. I'm sure we'll get that emailed out also so that you can sign up and attend.
Wonderful. Looking forward to that. I also want to highlight for you next Friday, March 12th, we have a Red Cross blood drive going on. That March 12th was the date that was going to be the grade school tournament in Eau Claire that was canceled this year. So we have no school, but there is a Red Cross blood drive. We're currently in need of about 15 more people to sign up to give blood if you are able to do so. So please consider that. And of course, it's a wonderful gift that you can give to those in need. We still have three teacher calls going on in our school right now. We issued calls to Mr. Eric Libby and Mr. Kevin Schrader to fill the two vacancies that we have on the high school level. So please keep those two men in their prayers and your prayers as we ask the Lord's will as to whether or not he would have them serve here at our high school. Also, we keep in our prayers Mr. Matthew Kranz, our current fifth and sixth grade teacher, who has the call to Emmanuel in Winter Haven, Florida. He's called to be the second teacher there, so he's considering that call at this time as well. Finally, as far as our prayer list, we continue to thank the Lord for his healing hand for Pastor Radical's father, Phil Radical, who returned home this past weekend and is healing up and doing well. Any updates you have for us there, Pastor?
No, he was having a couple of nose. He was having some major nosebleeds, and he went in the doctor, but he's gotten a really good report. So he's trying to do little mini laps in the house and trying to just recover slowly. So appreciate all the prayers. Very, very thankful for that and for reaching out and encouraging my family and me.
We also pray for the Becker family. Axton and Sarah Becker had a baby boy this last week. His name is Malachi Robert. We thank the Lord for that wonderful gift. We also pray on behalf of one of our members, Joan Strand's brother-in-law, Gary Heller, who experienced kidney failure this past week. We pray the Lord would continue to show his healing hand to Gary. And also for Joan Strand's niece, Ashley, who had twins this last week, prematurely, about 2 months early. They both weigh under 2 pounds, but they're both doing well as far as I've heard. So we thank the Lord for that blessing and pray he would continue to bless them with healing. And finally, we keep Marie Meyer. That'll be Grace Schreier's sister in our prayers. She's a member of our sister congregation over in Red Wing, dealing with cancer as well. Which brings us to our doctrine of the day, which is a wonderful topic for us to consider during this Lenten season, the doctrine of salvation. Obviously, it's a very familiar word, someone that we talk about and speak about all the time. But if someone came up to you today, Pastor, and just asked, what is salvation? How would you answer that?
Salvation is deliverance. If you look in the Old Testament times, you know, the Old Testament people would talk about being delivered from their enemies, and we certainly would be agreeable to that in the New Testament times as well. But ultimately, the greatest deliverance we can have, the greatest salvation, is from sin and death itself. Salvation, deliverance from what we are deserving for our death, as we talked about with justification in the past, eternal life, eternal death and hell. You know, salvation would be deliverance from that awful place that we deserve. So salvation is, I always think of it as deliverance by Christ's work, through Christ's work on the cross, so that we can have eternal life with him and all believers. That's my quick explanation. How about you?
Yeah, no, I like that definition. And I think it's important that we emphasize with salvation that it's for all people, right? That all people have been saved. And that's where I think a lot of the false doctrine comes in this doctrine of salvation, is that the salvation that Christ won for us is complete. It's all done, and it is for all people. So it's sometimes just referred to as universal objective justification. The idea that Jesus took away the sins of not just you and me, but the sins of all people. And, you know, one of the clearest passages for that comes from 1 John chapter 2, where it talks about he himself is the propitiation for our sins, and not for our sins only, but also for the sins of all people. And I think it's important that we continue to emphasize that, especially today, as people continue to propitiate or continue to propagate false teachings that limit the atoning work of Christ. We see this in the Reformed churches a lot, saying that, well, Christ only died for the sins of some people. And if God knew who he was going to save, why would Jesus bother to die for all people? And, you know, that may sound a little foreign to us, because you don't really hear that preached from the pulpit a lot, even from people who believe this. But the truth is that it is very prevalent and very present in many, even what claim to be Christian churches, who deny that the complete and the complete work of Christ, and the fact that the work of Christ is for all people. And this is why one of the most important emphases of the Lutheran Reformation was grace alone. It's grace alone is what saves us, that it is what Christ has done that comes to our hearts through faith, that washes away our sins, and that wins for us that salvation. And that there is nothing that we did in and of ourselves to accomplish that that salvation. And that's where we get to that idea of grace infused. We see that not in Reformed, but in Catholic theology. You want to comment a little bit on what the Catholic Church means when they say that grace is infused to us? Because it might sound okay on its surface, but what do they actually mean?
I think it's important to look at, I mean, the quick explanation would be that we are saved by God's grace, but we would really, in our lives, in our actions, would contribute to that grace. This is where the whole idea of the indulgences came up. And, you know, the penance would be the official Catholic teaching that would really show infused grace, because penance is the idea that you really work off your sins, whether it be by meeting with the priest or doing the prescription that the priest has asked you to do, whether say a certain amount of Hail Marys or contribute this or that to a certain individual or fast for a certain amount of time. This infused grace gives the idea that we only receive grace when it's infused with our works, when it's shown by our works. I think a lot of the confusion comes from the James verse that faith without works is dead, and certainly is clear that if someone doesn't have any faith, if someone doesn't have any works, it appears like they don't have faith at all. But that's not speaking in the context of justification or salvation. That's in the context of sanctification and how we want to show our love to Jesus by how we live, not in how we get to heaven. Two very different things there. So infused grace is very dangerous, because it gives the, kind of like Judas in our devotion earlier, where the chief priest said, "What's that to us? You see to it." Ultimately, what I believe they're saying there is that you got to deal with what you've done. They got what they wanted. Now you got to deal with it. So they're not offering, they weren't offering Judas God's free forgiveness and grace. They were saying that you got to figure it out yourself. You got to atone for your own mistake. That's your problem, not ours. And that's ultimately the danger that you have when you try to mix works with our salvation.
Yeah, I think that's well put, and it's important to remember that it's only the name of Jesus is what saves us. And, you know, familiar passage from Acts 4, chapter 12, it says, "Nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." And that's, of course, referring to the name of Jesus Christ. And that coincides very well with what Jesus said about himself: "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." So final point on this doctrine of salvation that we want to emphasize this morning is that there is only one way to be saved, and that's through Christ. That you cannot save yourself, as you mentioned, through your own works, and you cannot be saved by some other religion or some other means. You cannot be saved by trying to get to heaven through Buddha, or trying to get to heaven through believing that in Jehovah, but not believing in that Jesus is a part of the triune God. And Scripture makes this absolutely clear that it's only through Christ that we can be saved. It's only through his gift of salvation. Sadly, today you see so many of those coexist bumper stickers, or you see so many people, especially in even among Christianity and even Lutheranism, who emphasize the idea that and focus on the idea of inclusivity and tolerance, and saying that is true love, rather than focusing on what Jesus told us is true love, which is the truth. The truth points out what is true, and the truth points out what is false. And that's the truth is what always will win out in the end, because Christ is truth and his word is truth. And that's what we trust and believe in. And because of that, these ideas that we can be saved through other means will fall by the wayside on that great day. So with all that in mind, this, you know, the doctrine of salvation is a wonderful comfort to us, and it's a reminder of how we are brought to the Lord, how we are delivered, as you mentioned, to him. And that's through the work of our Savior Jesus, and it's completely his work. And his work is complete when he announced it is finished on the cross, and there is nothing that we can add to it, and it is for all people. So we pray that the Lord would allow, would use his word to share this good news of deliverance of salvation with as many people as he would wish, and as he wishes, and as he tells us, he desires all men to be saved and come to the knowledge of the truth. With this in mind, let's move to our hymn of the day, which is hymn 152, which goes as follows. When o'er my sins I sorrow, Lord, I will look to thee, and hence my comfort borrow that thou wast slain for me. Yea, Lord, thy precious blood was spilled for me, O most unworthy, to take away my guilt. Oh, what a marvelous offering. Behold, the Master spares his servants and their suffering, and grief for them he bears. God stoopeth from his throne on high. For me, his guilty creature, he deign as man to die. My manifold transgression henceforth can harm me none. Since Jesus' bloody passion for me God's grace hath won. His precious blood my debts has paid. Of hell and all its torments I am no more afraid. Therefore I will forever give glory unto thee, O Jesus, loving Savior, for what thou didst for me. I'll spend my breath in songs of praise for thy sad cry, thy sufferings, thy wrongs, thy guiltless death. Amen. Thank you once again for joining us here on the Twin Steeples podcast. We pray that the good news of Jesus Christ comforted your heart today. Once again, Twin Steeples is a production of Emmanuel Evangelical Lutheran Church in Mankato, Minnesota. Until next time, we pray that God would bless and keep you. And may you always remember, Emmanuel, God is with you.